Blog Talk Radio.
What's in the news, African family? We will be talking about some of the news when we come back. Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were based in our sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversations about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen to us on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. You will be on the Blog Talk Radio site at that time. If you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, click on the Follow button. ULU members, we have our own social media community. Please join if you have not already done so. There is a Dare to Win group and we would like to have your feedback on Path Dare to Win programs, as well as topic suggestions for future programs. I'm Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Brother Thurman, who, like me, is a member of UBU. Peace, Brother Thurman. How are you doing tonight?
Peace, Sister. I am so glad to be in your company and the rest of the UBU family heard all around the world.
It's a pleasure to have you here. So, Brother Thurman, what's in the news that you would like to share with our African family?
Yes, there's always so much in the news, and every day that goes by that we don't have UBU cultural centers all over the planet, wherever we are located, we are failing to share the news that we need to know, news from the past and news from 60 seconds ago. And whatever the ancestors are telling us is blowing in the wind. And when we don't do it, we're just failing ourselves in this state of emergency that we're in and the war that's being waged against our spirit, our mind, and our bodies. I want to start off with something that all of us need to be aware of, and it's related to the subject of black geniuses. And black geniuses, as far as I'm concerned, every time a sister gives birth to a baby, she's giving birth to a black genius. But if you went and asked many of our people, how many black geniuses do you know of? And they would be, most of them would be quiet and be at a pause because they'd have to think, because rarely is there conversation amongst our people about geniuses. And that causes us to not be paying, being mindful that the sisters are constantly giving birth to black geniuses, but their minds get corrupted quickly when they come out of the womb and maybe sometime in the womb. And we just don't even know that genius that they came out of the womb. And like I said, maybe perhaps also in the womb because of the pollution of the mind is immediately attacking the baby and making the baby say, "What? I was in my mama's loving womb, and I came out of here, and they're picking up all of these vibes from all of these strange people talking all of this reckless foolishness and this socialized foolishness." And that's just my perspective, but what I've been feeling for years is that there's constantly genius is coming forth. So what I wanted to talk about this in the news, very recent news, and this is concerning a sister that's, so the news headline starts off said that white parents are upset after former teacher launches black math genius program. And this is a sister, her name is La Lady, which I'm not sure of how to pronounce that, Asata Moore. So I'll just call her Sister Asata Moore. And she's a former educator and high school principal. So a former educator and high school principal. And she has launched a Black Math Genius program to address the dismal mathematics proficiency amongst black students that continues to plague black students in this country. And I find it just amazing that it would actually, well, I'm not amazed, but it's interesting that there would be, they're doing what they do, but that they would dare, you know, step out into the world stage and say that we're upset because a teacher wants to teach black, launch and teach black math genius program to nurture that genius within and to keep them being corrupted, polluted, made to have low self-esteem and thinking that they're not capable of, and they are, really are. So you got some comment on that? Go right ahead.
Well, you know, when you mentioned that our children think they can't do math when they can, I don't know if you remember, years back, there was a movie called Claudine, I think, with Diane Carroll, and I think James Earl Jones. And there was a young man that was playing Diane Carroll's son. And his character was hooking school. And the man, James Earl Jones' character, saw him shooting crap with his friends on the corner and, you know, pulled him to the side and asked him what was going on, why wasn't he in school. And he said that, you know, I'm not good in school, I can't do math and blah, 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 blah. And James Earl Jones said, went through all the different kinds of math that he did just in the process of this craps game that he was playing. And so a lot of times our children don't see practical application to the information that they're given, but they apply it very easily and very readily in their day-to-day. That's what came into my mind when you were talking about our children thinking that they cannot do math.
Yes, yes, I agree. And so what we got to do is we got to know what the challenges are and immediately get busy. Even if we don't right away know what the answers are, we will get the answers from wanting to know and you delving into our inner being and delving into the Most High by whatever name you use and delving into our ancestors. We would get answers. We got to want to know, and we will get answers. And so we got to recognize, as I'm looking at a picture, there's a long table of black children being fed, and it probably was a black, it doesn't say that, but the Black Panther, you know, when they were feeding the children. And the message says that a nation built strong is a nation that provides for their own. And so it's like the sister Asada Moore that I mentioned. She's going forward to provide for our own by launched the Black Math Genius Program. So we've got to get busy, and whatever comes our way, don't accept it. Step up and correct it. Don't spend a bunch of time griping about it, because it's wasted time. So it's like Francis Welsing said, we got to get our mind on the black side of the chessboard. And when they make a move like the ones did that's upset about the Black Math Genius Program, we counter their move to keep them from checkmating us. Because when we do nothing, they continuously, in whatever subject area you want to come up with, checkmate us. And
What city is that?
It did not say, but it's going to be. It's going to be. It didn't say because it didn't say in the headlines that I just read. But if you delve into the link, I'm not sure if it's on YouTube, but it's going to be on the Us Lifting Us page on Monday, Facebook page. That'll be where you'll be able to find it, and I could go to it on Facebook and be able to tell what city that is. But probably if you type in the Black Math Genius Program and Asada Moore, I'm sure you'll find it. And I'm sure it doesn't say sister, like we should address sisters in an honorable fashion. And her first name is spelled L-A-M-A-I-L-E-D-E. So once again, it's spelled L-A and then uppercase or capital M-A-I-L-E-D-E, Asada Moore.
Okay. Thank you for that.
She's doing what we must do. And to get into something else, and family members, everybody is recognizing things that's going out on around us, things from our past and things that's currently going on that we need to be aware of. And If you got 2 or 3 minutes or something to share, we welcome you to join the conversation as we do every week. And the next thing I wanted to touch on is about grandmother breastfeeding her grandchild. And this article, part of it went on, goes on to say, and we need to know this because there's so much about the woman, the black woman, that we are deficient in our awareness of, and sometimes even the sisters are, depending on the subject. So it is a common practice in many cultures for a grandmother to re-lactate, the word re-lactate, so that they may breastfeed her grandchild. And re-lactate is a process of stimulating, massaging the breast, as well as having a child to suck on the breast because oftentimes the breast milk will start flowing again, you know, when, and so let me read the rest of this. So as I said, the word relactate so that she may breastfeed her grandchild. It is truly an act of love. A lot of people seem to be curious about how this is possible. Breast milk production is all about supply and demand. The breast can continue to make milk indefinitely as long as there is a demand for it. How does menopause affect this? Pituitary glands are necessary in the production of breast milk, and menopause does not restrict the pituitary gland's ability to function. Even after menopause, it is possible to produce enough milk to nourish a baby. The woman, the black woman's body is amazing.
That is awesome. Yeah.
Yes, it is. And these are things we need to know.
Mm-hmm.
We need to teach it to the little children and reinforce it in the minds of the little sisters and brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much. And the breast, there's much more that is a valuable piece right there. And and to go deeper into what this article probably, and most people don't even delve into, we need to be strategic in making sure that we keep our sisters naturally well and disease-free, because we need to be breastfeeding the sisters need to be breastfeeding the babies at any age with as much as possible in the way it originally was, with an uncontaminated body and breast milk.
Right.
I'll stop right there.
Okay, we have someone on the line, so I'm going to open the line now and take this caller. Caller with the last 8189. Mm-hmm. Your name, where you're calling from. Make your comment or ask your question.
This is Z Melitan. I'm calling from Wake Forest, North Carolina. Greetings, family. Brother Thurman, Sister Q.
Peace, Brother Z. How are you?
Yeah, I just want to check in and let you guys know that I was listening to you. I like both of the other pieces that was presented so far. Just thinking about the elders getting the opportunity to kind of come back around and give value to the community, even if it means the elders are nurturing the babies, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's good to know that we can still have our babies provided some vital nutrition and even some wisdom on top of that, just being in good hands. Like Brother Thurman was talking about, they stand healthy, and of course, they get to share their wisdom. And last night, I also pulled up the sister Asada Moore's issue and read some of the stuff that she was dealing with. She's talking about she never intended to threaten white folk, but, you know, she was on a mission to make sure these black youth was getting a good opportunity to let their geniuses flourish.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Good word.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yes, and I'd just like to add, you know, the brother was emphasizing about the elders being involved. It's in the probably the ancient tradition of Africans, and some Africans still follow that, and a lot of them in this so-called civilized setting, they don't not aware of it. But it used to be common among some Africans that the mother would give birth to the child and hand the child off to the grandmother for a period of time, it was a few weeks or a few months, because inner self or their spiritual wisdom said that the child that had just recently been on a spiritual journey and came back, you know, in the womb and came back into physical form, that the elder is nearest to going back into the spirit realm when they make that transition. And there's a communication, an energetic and spiritual communication that the newborn baby and the elder that's tapping back in into that, into the universe that they're going to transition back to, and that they need to connect and share that spiritual guidance, if you word it like that. Because the child has come out of the womb uncorrupted with all of this artificial pollution of the mind, and there's some valuable nonverbal communication that goes on between that newborn child and the elder mother, and that's the reason for that. But that's a part of the culture that they don't teach us in history class.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Brother Z, for joining. Do you have anything else you would like to share?
I just like the last piece that you spoke about. I think we do have a lot taking place with these babies in the area of extrasensory perception. They can perceive.
Yes.
There's a language there, you know, and they can perceive. And I think I, for one, would be glad when we can relink ourselves to establishing these qualities in the family. That's all.
Thank you.
Oh, brother, that's deep. You know, see, this is why we need to talk. This is why we need to gather together in a circle in the Ulu Cultural Centers, because that's current news stuff, you know, even further what he just brought up. And we have the ability within us, and the babies are almost always, as far as I know, always born to be in tune to what he's talking about. And that's why when I mentioned earlier that it's commonly, you know, in this so-called civilized setting for us to not think that there's always black geniuses being born, and they are.
Mm-hmm.
And what Brother Z mentioned, it's not difficult for us to collectively come in a circle and get back in tune to where we can communicate with the babies and with other energies and with the universe, with the ancestors included. And it brings up a lot of different things. You know, there's something called silent power that our ancestors were very much in touch with. And that's part of what happens when you see pictures of some Africans holding a baby, and they just got smiles all over their face, and they may be not verbally saying anything, but there's some nonverbal communication going on all the time. And what'd you say?
I said, yes, sir, indeed.
Yes. And so we have the capability of doing it, and we're actually failing ourselves to not tap back into right now nonverbal communication, meaning we could communicate from 10 miles, 100 miles, or 10,000 and further away. And there's folks that do that, you know, so it's not something I'm just running off at the mouth about.
Right.
And the oldest and far as I know, the most powerful form of communication is nonverbal, because it does not require a language or varying languages. That means you could go anywhere on the planet and communicate with anything, animals and insects, butterflies that communicate in that nonverbal, and the language doesn't change. It's like traveling to different parts of Africa and the language changes, but there's some recent stuff but the highest and oldest is nonverbal.
For sure.
I hope that adds something to what's in the news, African family.
Yes,
thank
indeed.
You, Brother. Yes,
thank
brother,
you, brother.
Brother Thurman, you mentioned about nonverbal communication. I remember when the internet was new, I met a woman who was, I think she worked in the computer field, and she was saying that we are actually the internet. And
yes. Mm-hmm.
We are supposed to be able to communicate, as you were saying, non-verbally or, you know, the way we used to say. And she
mm-hmm.
said the purpose of the physical material internet was to arrest our development in that way, or you could say telepathic. To arrest our telepathic development so that we would get caught on the externals and forget or not boost up. And in some cases, forget our ability to telepathically communicate. I remember watching an interview that this woman was doing with Shaquille O'Neal, and she was trying to make fun of him because he didn't have a cell phone. And she, you know, well, how are people going to get in touch with you? You don't have a cell phone. Everybody has a cell phone, but, you know. And he said, if somebody wants to get in touch with me, all they have to do is think about me, and I will feel it, and I'll get back to them. They went to a commercial break. That was, he said too much. They had to go to a commercial break. And I have, over my time, heard of people who communicated with people. For one example is this brother who went to visit his friend, and his friend was not at home. So the friend's brother told the guy to come in, sit down, I'll get my brother for you. And the man knew that they didn't have a telephone, because that's why he came over, because he couldn't call to say, I'm coming over. And he said the brother went into the kitchen, and he heard, like, you would hear half of a telephone conversation, and the brother would something, and then he would pause like he's listening, and then he would say something else. And the man that had come to visit got curious, so he went and snuck over to the door to hear who this brother was talking to. And there was nobody there, but he was listening and talking and listening and talking. Then the guy ran and sat back down in the couch, and he said, my brother said he'll be here in a few minutes. And in a few minutes, the brother was there. So it's not that we can't do it, it's that we have gotten out of practice of doing these.
Yeah, well, I agree. And the major reason is because of the socialization programs that are made, and their whole programs are made to distract us and keep us distracted with foolishness and low-level stuff. And we've got to have the capacity to readjust back to the unlimited abilities of ourselves to access these things. And the ancestors, when they left all of the writings, inscriptions, and structures, you know, including pyramids and tekkens and obelisks, they did that for a purpose, to give us But so as I read earlier, you know, it's a nation built strong is a nation that provides for their own, and we've got to provide and be in tune in all areas of our life. It's no one, think I can do one thing and think I'm supposed to be saved and all right. But we've got an ecosystem that you use that word to talk about the planet, the universe included, but as an ecosystem of it has to be in a complete circle and a harmony. And if we have disharmony in there, or corrupted or polluted thoughts or behaviors and lifestyles, then we're not maximizing on what we can do. And just on the thing about when I mentioned distractions, a sister recently had a conversation that she entitled it. It said, "Stay focused." And then she delved into, which it was an hour long, very good information about the cost of distractions. And distractions is a major thing that's keeping us from tapping in, because when you're distracted, when you enter distractions in every way you can look, everywhere you turn, whatever you're trying to do, there's always distractions around you, including the cell phone. And the higher self that we need to tune into, and the realm that you go into to tune into your higher self and to be able to get these higher communications, is not that active mindset that most people are in, you know, throughout the day. But where we need to go is where you are before daybreak, and where you are when you're getting ready to go to bed at night, and where you go into when you go to bed at night. And that's a level, you know, called the alpha level of the mind, and even deeper than that, what you go into. But it allows you access that most people, unless they go there, they wouldn't successfully, because it's too much distractions and just too much noise going on. But so it's in the direction of meditating, you know, which is, quieting the mind and not having just multiple and multitasking kind of stuff going on, and slowing, going into just a deeper realm. And so when I continue on what I was saying about distractions, the distractions, as I said, are many, including materialistic distractions. And so whatever that might be, you know, if it's the shoes or designer clothes and watches and cars, and it's just materialistic distractions. But the people that tend to be into that stuff, they are not making use of the powers and the ability that they have within to communicate, what you described, Sister Q, when you were talking about that brother that said, "Well, I'll tell my brother that you're here," and then he got a response back through the cellular telephone that's between our ears. Mm-hmm. And so there's a book called Mutant Message by Marlo Morgan, and it's supposedly about the Africans in Australia, the Aborigines, as they call them. And that was a chapter in the book called The Original Cellular Telephone, but it was talking about the telephone, the cell phone that's between our ears. And
no doubt,
she questioned them about the ability to, well, she questioned them because when she went on a walkabout for, I don't know, 2 or 3 months that she wasn't expecting with the Aborigines across the outback of Australia. And one of the first things that she noticed is that when they started, the large group of them, it could have been 50 or 60, that they were walking along smiling and laughing, but verbally saying nothing. And I'm glad I got to bring this up. And so she asked the interpreter, "What are they laughing about?" And he told her. And she said, "Well, how come I'm not hearing that?" And they said, one of the reasons you're not hearing this is because you are a mutant and you come from a society that lies all of the time. And part of what you have to do to tune in is to get all of that corruption out of your mind." And she didn't know what to say to that. And one more thing I'm going to say about that, you know, that was mentioned in the book. In one of the days as they were walking along, the group kind of stopped, and somebody said, "We got a message coming." And it was through that cellular telephone between the ears. And finally, when they got the message clear, the interpreter said that one of the Aborigines was miles away, had killed a kangaroo to eat, and he was going to bring it back to the group. But the kangaroo was large, and the kangaroo tail is very heavy also. And he was asking the group for their okay to cut that tail off and leave it so that he could put the rest of it on his shoulders and tote it back to the group.
Right.
And so the the woman, the visitor, you know, she just said, you know, that's kind of amazing, you know, somebody miles away then communicated, you know, silently. This silent message to their cell phone. But anyway, a few hours later, this brother, they saw him coming, and he was toting a great big kangaroo.
Right.
So there's lots of ways that we can get verification of those of us in the past and currently that can access that nonverbal communication. And I have some more, but...
Brother,
right ahead to the call.
Thurman, we have a couple of calls, so
let me see. Okay.
And we'll continue. Okay, caller with the last four digits, 0673, please state your name, where you're calling from, and there's your comment.
Hotep, sister, Brother Kevlar. I mean, Brother Thurman, this is Kevlar. I just want to mention that the brain came first, and then the computer came. And it patterns itself after the brain. Just like the computer, you can't get out what you don't put in, staying with the brain. And I can show you in a 1963 World Book Encyclopedia, it says, in order to build a computer equal to the average brain, it has to be as tall as the Empire State Building. Let me repeat that. In order to build a computer equal to the average brain, it has to be as tall as the Empire State Building. Now, I haven't seen a computer that tall. That just shows you how much of our brain that we are not using. And we probably need to exercise it, just like when you run a marathon. You don't just go out. I think a marathon is 25 miles. I'm not sure. But whatever it is, you don't just go out there and run a marathon. You do a mile the first week, 2 miles the second week, 3 miles the third week, and you build up to same with the mind, the brain. We don't do exercise. I was at a program the other day. The sister said she realized if she put a time limit on what she could do during the day, she'd get more accomplished. She said, if I'm going to the grocery store, I'm going to give myself 30 minutes or an hour to get where I got to get. She said, if she don't set a certain time, she'll take all day long, 3 or 4 hours, you know. But she set a time. She realized that she can go there, come back and get it, and have time left over. I realize that because I'm a writer and I'm an author. When that television is on and I'm trying to write, it probably takes me 10 hours to do something. But the moment I turn that television off, I can get a whole lot of accomplished, and the information just starts flowing. So we're not exercising the brain. So when Thurman and you talk about things that we can accomplish, it seems beyond our reach because we're so preoccupied with other things that we haven't had time to focus on the things that really is important. And you probably, if we did, you probably realize that that you can accomplish a whole lot more than we're actually doing. I don't know how much our brain we're using, but I'm sure we're not using to the capacity that we should be using it. And that's all I had to add to today's presentation.
Thank you so much.
Good word,
for sharing.
Thank you.
Brother Thurman, one more call, and let me open this one up. Caller with the last four digits, 3440, please state your name, where you're calling from, and make your comment or ask your question. Thank you.
Greetings. Can you hear me, Sister Q?
Yes. I can hear you.
Yeah, well, greetings to you and Brother Thurman. This is Brother Shabaka calling from the sunny state of Florida, the southern part. really fascinated with the conversation. But to some of the listeners that say, well, you know, these folks have been been smoking some weed. I wanted to just to assure them, you know, that the conversation that you are engaged in is extremely relevant in showing how we have been emasculated, our minds such that those things that you talked about earlier, we don't see being practiced or manifested in daily life. But let me give you some example. Now, I'm sure that, you know, at least some of the nationalists who may be listening have heard of the Dogons. The Dogons mm-hmm. are a black African community in Mali. Okay. They have resisted Christianity. They have resisted Islam. And they still practice their, most of them practice still their traditional belief. Now, Mali was colonized by the French. All right, so we're not talking, and Mali won its independence in the 60s from the French, so-called. Okay. All right, but, you know, they've been having a lot of trouble. But let me get back to the Dogons. All right, the Dogons, many believe, have migrated from the Nile Valley, all right, which is the seat of what is believed to be African genealogy. Genius in the creation of the pyramids and the many temples and the high culture that existed along the Nile, not just only in Egypt, but, you know, all the way down into Central Africa. How do we know that? Well, because many of the manifestations, the animal manifestations representing very high quality or principles or goddess or whatever, are animals that we found from Central Africa and lower. But now let me tie it to the Dogons. Remember now, the Dogons, all right, supposedly, according to the French, the British, and everybody else, a primitive tribe, you know, got huts, you know, and, you know, have their own ceremonies and techniques, had to show the French that the highest, brightest star that appeared in the sky just before the sunrise was the Sirius, and that the Sirius was a dual star system, meaning two stars. Now, this is the Dogons, primitive people with mud huts and straw, informing the French, you know, astronomers that bright star, all right, had more than one sun. It was a dual sun. One of them was a dwarf sun, which means it didn't emit very much light, but it was still a star, okay, mm-hmm. along with the star that emitted light. Now, brothers and sisters who are listening, many of you nationalists who are out there listening, you know, who glorify the Western technique and technology, the Dogons had no telescope. Let me repeat that. They had no telescope. How did they know it was two star systems out there?
Exactly.
The French had to get a telescope. They had to look, and they showed them how to look. To see that, in fact, yeah, there was two stars, mm-hmm. a two-star solar system, all right? Two-star system. All right, so then French mathematician came. And now this is more recent. All right, and notice that the way in which the Dogons patterned their village, you know, how they organized their village, how mm-hmm. the sisters braided their hairs, had a mathematical theme to it.
Mm.
They call it fractals, all right? So this is recent. I mean, this is since I've been in school. The Dogons have been doing this for centuries. All right, so, you know, some of you brothers and sisters that might be laughing, saying, oh, yeah, nothing as great as the white man's science. Got to remember now, the white man's science didn't build the pyramids. They still cannot today with the cranes, you know, with the computers. They cannot construct the pyramids, all right? They don't know how the pyramids, how they cut the stones, or the stones were fashioned such that they didn't have no those cement in between the stones to braid them together. They was placed right side by side. You know, I've been to Egypt. I've seen them. I'm looking in the cracks to see if there's any holes. There were no holes. I couldn't see nothing. Okay?
Right.
All right? That wasn't done by, and that was built, 5,000 years ago. So, you know, when Brother Thurman and you all talk about the geniuses that we have experienced, and then the brother just finished talking about we're not using all of our brain power, well, we got manifest examples of that. All you got to do is run through the Nile Valley. All you got to do is visit the Dogons. Look, let me tell you, a PhD physicist went to the Dogons, all right, to see if he, you know, to study their system. Stayed there 15 to 20 years, you know, and made the first level, was advanced to the first level of a 14-level system.
Okay.
That's how smart he was. First level, he made the first level of a 14-level system. All right? That, you know, so there's a lot in African culture, you know, that we've been separated against. We've been dominated by a. See, the only thing that these folks have is warlike, and of course, yeah, we had some friction between the communities that we had, but we never advanced the weaponry to kill people like they have advanced here. So, like any people, if you have superior weapons, yeah, you can kill and you can disrupt. All right, some of that stuff still exists on the African continent right now. I was in Kenya. I remember I was. In central Kenya, I come back to Nairobi. I'm reading the paper. I just left that area. All right, I'm reading the paper about how for lack of a better term, let me call him a witch doctor. Okay, let me call him a witch doctor. All right. And what the paper read was this: it says that the villager had trapped a leopard and killed the leopard. Came back the next morning and found a dead witch doctor. Shape-sifting. Now, I'm not lying. I mean, I read it. It's read it in the paper, you know, and I'm not trying to fool you. You know, there's some things that's happened on the African continent that we and happening here, particularly in some of our southern states, all right, and in some of the northern states, too, you know, but they don't talk too much about it, you know. Some stuff I saw in Haiti when I was visited there, all right. So I'm just trying to add, brother, and I'm a leave that you know some of the brothers and sisters that might be giggling, you know, from what you're saying, if they are giggling, you know, need to take this stuff serious. We under a cloud of European domination, and we don't know anything as a consequence of that. And you have to leave, all right, to see and hear some of the stuff, and then come back and say, oh man. That's why I don't give I was trained in mathematics, but I really hate the fact that I was trained because I felt that I could learn a lot much more if I had an elder, you know, a sponsor who would who would learn me more. And you go to school and learn that stuff. Well, that's all I wanted to say, brother and sister. So I didn't mean to keep up much of your time, but the topic that you're talking about is so very important. And for some of our brothers and sisters that may be laughing, they ain't got nothing to laugh about because, see, I seen it with my eyes. I seen it with my eyes. All right, brother. Take care.
Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing.
Yes, thank you, brother. Very good.
Yeah. That's part of the what Brother Shibaka mentioned is part of actually our challenge, I guess you could say. We go to people who have a general idea of who we are and what we're capable of. And they're not going to allow us to develop our skills. And we keep going to them expecting it. Who's it? Was it Dr. Clark or Dr. Ben that said that the people in power are not going to train us or train the people that they're oppressing to take back power or to take power or to have power. So
mm-hmm.
I think it's clear that we have these skills and abilities innately, as you mentioned, Brother Thurman, and they know they don't have those skills or those capabilities. And so what they want to do is keep us from developing ours, because if when we develop ours, not if, when we develop ours, then their game is over.
And I'd like to...
I think innately those white teachers that are angry about the Black Genius Program, even if they don't know it on the top of their head and can articulate it, like Dr. Francis Kress Wilson talks about genetic annihilation, they understand it on that level. And that's why they're so against this Black Genius Program. You can go ahead.
Yes, thank you. And the conversation tonight has just been so very, very well. And everybody that's participating in the conversation, this is a necessary conversation that we must have on a regular, regular basis instead of a rally. And this is kind of, so I just said that. And when Sister Q just mentioned Frances Welsing, on top of her subject of analyzing racism and the things that we must do all the time. But she was not limited in or suppressed in any way about the Europeans thinking in so-called scholarship, because that was demonstrated when she debated the geneticist Shockley on the Tony Brown show in the 70s, which is on YouTube. And we mm-hmm. got to take the position of, just like the Sister Asada Moore with the Black Genius Program, a math program, we've got to just go forward and be us and do us on a high level, and give little thought at all to what their response is. Their response to some degree is a bluff to see if we're going to do anything really within the genius that's in us. And we should take a position that not being distracted, I mentioned it a little earlier, don't be distracted about their, we just know their, whatever they say, you know, including about the Black Genius, but got to go ahead and do our part. And we need to collectively do it, because there's always have been sisters and brothers that's tuned in, and it still mm-hmm. is all over the planet, and we've got to we'll be wise to gather up with them, and as a collective practice, because as a collective, when we do things together, it just helps to expand that energy. And I want to mention, Brother Kevilon talked about the brain and exercising the brain. It's there available. You can go to YouTube, and people are using it in the way that they understand it. But one source that we can go to is Sister Dr. Jewel Pookrum, Pookrum. And she mm-hmm. teaches brain balancing and other high-level things about the mind, and to be able to use all of it. And she talks about how the left and the right hemisphere is sort of like got a disconnect between the two of them. And she teaches brain balancing, how you can channel energy into your left and right hemisphere and get them to send electrical neurons to reconnect or rewire the two together. And she, mm-hmm. and part of it comes from the fact that some years ago, as a highly trained in many specialties in the medical field, including, I believe, a surgeon, she ended up very ill. And when mm-hmm. she was dealing with that, her colleagues that were trained like similar to where she was, they couldn't help her because they didn't have a know-how from this medical perspective. So then she, as I said earlier, when you want something, just keep wanting it. Don't worry about it. You don't know what it is right this moment, but you might get it tomorrow or tonight during your dream time. And she came up with techniques that she's teaching now to heal her dis-ease without any surgery or without any drugs. That's a sister, Dr. Jewel Pookrum, P-O-O-K-R-U-M. And another thing about the exercise in the brain, that was a book that came out years ago called J-Arm, meaning jogging with the arms, but it was about exercises that you can do with your arms that helps to stimulate the brain function and keeping brain fog away and so-called things that's supposed to happen when you get old or so-called Alzheimer's disease. Get back on our higher self, this kind of stuff wouldn't be happening. One of the things I want to mention real quick is a sister wrote a piece about setbacks, and she said that setbacks don't exist. Whenever something happens that goes contrary to our liking, we call it a setback, a delay, or a reversal in progress. Setbacks only exist in our heads. The way we feel is based on our interpretation of experiences. So instead of calling it a setback, see it as a step forward. What is happening might be telling us to go another way, or the road is blocked. That means our life is equipped with a safety valve for success. We're just ignoring it. And so what we've been talking about tonight, we're just ignoring it, but it's already there. And it says, banish setbacks from your vocabulary. Instead, step forward with the messages life is giving you. Don't be afraid to respond to life. It'll bring you one step closer to paradise. And this is written by a sister that has the Ashe Yoga Studio and Tea Room, and she's on Facebook. I believe her name is Robin. I'm not sure about her last name right now, but there's just a lot of things that we have in our mind. It's just an illusion that's been implanted in there falsely and on a low level, and we've got to just reprogram our mind and not respond and engage in distractions and disbelief and even the distraction of the European. And as I mentioned earlier, when Frances Welsing, a young sister, debated the older, supposedly highly knowledgeable geneticist about the mind and about inferiority, she ran circles around him. So much so, but because she was a very calm and polite sister, so much so that she won great admiration from him. And as some people say, that after that debate in 1970, Shockley just kind of stayed quiet for the rest of his life because she bought something using her genius. And we've got to do that. Our genius mind, as she used to demonstrate when she was on South Carolina TV with Lister Belt Middleton and had the chessboard between them, and I said it earlier, is get our mind on the black side of the chessboard and operate from the black side. And when they make a move, we just counter it. We just keep getting up. And whatever the challenges is, we keep getting up, and we don't need their permission to go to our higher self. And family, the time is running out. All of this is that we've talked about tonight is part of what's going to be more and more available as Us Lifting Us develops its businesses, including the Us Lifting Us marketplace that's going to be a huge facility as big as some Lowe's and Walmart stores in terms of square footage. And in that, we would have movie theaters and black bookstores and black farmers market and all of that. And of course, in there would be the Ulu Cultural Center, where we could delve down and have conversations with sisters and brothers that have knowledge about like the Dogon and how we can tune in to our being, our inner being and our higher self. And also to get us to recognize that we've got to not allow the pollution and the distractions to take us off of our path, just like the Dogon that was mentioned. They don't spend their days watching television and trying to buy, you know, Tim's boots and red bottom shoes and Rolex watches, because they don't need a watch, because they can tell time very, very well. And we can too. We can set our mind tonight that we want to wake up at 3 a.m. And the more that we practice such things, you could wake up whether it was 5 minutes or 5 seconds before 3 a.m. And exactly. Consistently get more accurate the more that you do it. And family, it's been just enjoyable how we have come forward and collectively engaged in a very good conversation tonight. And I just want to, one last thing I want to say. This is something that's on the Us Lifting Us Facebook page today. And it says, as inflation keeps rising, you will be forced to adhere to eating less, fasting more, and be able, and so that you would be able to finance and pay for wherever you're living. And also, which is very vital, our families need to start planning to live together. And this is for survival purposes. Our families need to start planning to live together, because there was a time, and it still happens in Africa and in African villages, that we knew how to live harmoniously with each other. And we've got to go back to our inner being, the higher realms of our thinking, our behavior, and we could pull together under these challenges, inflation included, and live together and thrive.
Thank you for that. Speaking of that living together, that was one of the methods that they used to destroy the black family, to make it so that we could not, we were not, you know, allowed basically to live together with the laws that were passed and the zonings and all that other stuff that they did. So I want to thank everyone that joined us this evening and participated in tonight's conversation. Please join us again next Thursday evening at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, and we will be having another installment of Dare to Win. Peace. Thank you,
peace.
Brother.
Peace. Yes, sister. Thank you always.
Take away everything.